Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, I was thinking how I'm going to get you guys to be active and engage about Jazalah Khair, you know, coming after Sheikh Wissam. You know, it's a fantastic thing. It's hard to match, but at least he wakes everybody up, which is excellent. May Allah SWT reward him and keep that energy. I mean, legacy. How to leave behind an outlasting legacy, or a legacy that you will leave behind you as an individual, as a community, as an organization, as a family. Legacy is a situation that has developed as a result of past actions and decisions. Someone sitting in the shade of a tree is a result of someone long time ago have planted that tree in this place. So now you're enjoying the shade of that tree. If you would not be forgotten as soon as you are dead, it was said, either write something worth reading or do something worth writing about. That's right. So, legacy. I looked at this word. Do we have any word in Islam equal to the word legacy? Like, what will be legacy in Islam? If I translate this to one word in Islam. Huh? Sirah? No, sirah is not legacy. Sirah, it means biography. So, it's actually, we don't have in Arabic or in Islamic tradition, a phrase it's called legacy. But the concept is 100% exists in our religion. Because Islam teaches us to outlive our life. And that's what legacy is about. Islam is fundamentally talking and, you know, addressing the issue of to outlive your life. For example, we talk about as-sadaqah al-jariyah, a continuous charity after your death. Something will continue to contribute goodness to others and you will benefit from it as well. The concept of responsibility towards others. The Prophet ﷺ said, all of you responsible and all of you will be asked in the day of judgment. And legacy is what? Is you feel the sense of responsibility to contribute something that it will continue to benefit people after your time. You know, we have the concept of rahmah lil alameen, mercy to mankind. We have the concept of khayrun nas anfa'uhum lin nas, the most beneficial and the best of people, those who are the best to other people. You know, we have a concept in Islam. Huwa ansha'akum min al-ardi wasta'marakum fiha. Allah created you from this earth, put you on this earth, and have made you in charge of imaratul ard. What's imaratul ard? This word in Arabic, it means you're responsible of making this place good. This place is full of goodness. So that's what legacy is all about. And I know it's late, that's why I don't want to go into details, but I want to lay down some important points to keep in mind about legacy. Making a legacy doesn't mean you change the world. And that's an important thing to start with. A lot of people think legacy means I'm going to change the world, I'm going to change, you know, there is this guy, he always wants to change the world. After a while, he downgrade his plan to change the continent. Then he downgrade a little bit to change the country. Then downgrade a little bit himself to change, you know, the city. Then downgrade it to changing the neighborhood. Then changing his own community. Then his own house. Then he realizes it starts with changing himself. So when you talk about legacy, you don't need to think about something that will change the whole world. Might some of you, some of us will come with an idea that it will have a global impact. But that's not the only legacy. Also, making a legacy does not mean necessarily to see the outcome of the foundations and the seeds that you planted and established. As a matter of fact, most of legacies or most of legacy makers did not witness their legacy. And sometimes it takes years or generations to appreciate the groundwork that has been done. You know, so many scholars, you know, they were not appreciated until they die. You know, when you look at Ibn Taymiyyah, for example, Ibn Taymiyyah put in jail, torture, you know, and guess what? Upon his death, people realized the value of this man and what kind of giant that they have missed. You know, Imam al-Nawawi, that's very famous Imam. You know, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, at one point in his life, you know, he basically, the one scholar in Arabic language, very famous, Ibn Aqil. Ibn Aqil, these great giants in Arabic language, at one point in their life, they don't have much of students. You know, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, do you know that at one point, Imam al-Bukhari would go to Baghdad and nobody will open the door for him? Nobody appreciated him. Imam al-Bukhari had a great mihna in the end of his time. People appreciated his work after his death. What's the best book in tafsir? What's the best book in tafsir ever written? Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Ibn Kathir is just one of the fruit of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. And remember Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, you know, when he died, they could not even take him to the cemetery. He died, he stayed in his home, and they were worried that the smell of his body will come out and it became rotten. His family could not dare to take him out of his house because of the people of Baghdad were so angry at him. People used to sneak in the night to the Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari's house to pray janazah on him. In a well-known story. But guess what? The best book we have today in Tafsir al-Quran is the Tafsir Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Hands down, no one can argue this fact. No one. But it was not known in his time. So many legacies and so many things were appreciated way after your time. Which you put the seed, you put the effort, and not necessarily to witness it. Making a legacy doesn't mean that you have to be famous. You, at least at that time, you have to be with the big titles, a head of organizations, or, you know, a well-known, or a speaker, or anything of that nature. There is a lot of legacy makers in this conference. They never step a foot on the stage. Never give a talk. But you know what? They have been doing and making a legacy for the last decade, 10 years. May Allah accept from them. And also for inshallah years and generations to come. You know, I give an example. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is a legacy maker. The legacy of Mas'ud is unbelievable. A whole entire school were built in Al-Iraq after Ibn Mas'ud's teaching. Ibn Mas'ud did not have a title in the Islamic States. He's not the Khalifa, he's not the Vice Khalifa, he's not Amir. Even among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum waradhaum, he was just a young man. But he was able to build that legacy. No one I heard of born into success and legacy. They simply did and continue to do things that helped them realize their full potential. Making a legacy does not mean you have to build it alone. And that's an important concept to keep in mind. Legacy can be made by individual or community, collectively. We all contribute together to build that legacy. And that's something we should have concern. I give you an example. Let's assume, I'm not going to give a specific name, but a community here in Calgary. A masjid or A organization, name it, think about it. If today or tomorrow, Allah forbid, this organization ceased to exist, ended, disappeared from Calgary. Would Calgarian, what you guys call them? Yeah. Well, miss something? Then average person in Calgary said, you know what? Life is not the same. There is something missing. There's a lot of people impacted by the, you know, disappearing of this organization. You know, Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, upon his death, has a doctor who was a Christian, came to him and he said, my priest would like to come see you before you die. That's his doctor. Then Imam Ahmed allowed him to come. Then he came to Imam Ahmed, he said, ya Imam, I want you to know that your existence is not a blessing only for Muslims. It's for all of us. He recognized that priest, that the impact of that imam is not limited only to a small circle. It's to the whole entire society of Baghdad. Would our imam today have the same level of impact? That not necessarily determined. They might have legacy limited to certain area. But what I'm saying, see how what in our community and so forth. So the most important thing is basically you ask yourself how, you know, you build that legacy, and you either alone or not necessarily alone, collectively we're all together. Something I always wondering, what's the legacy that Muslims will leave behind or not leave behind, will put up in front for the coming generations? What do you think the people of the Canadians and the people of Canada, when they think of Muslim, they think of what? What kind of contributions that we have done as a community to the world or to the Canadian, you know, society at large? This is something it should be of a concern. If you think about legacy as a community, we should start have this conversation. And sometimes this conversation can be hard. In a level of a community, it must be easier in a level of individuals. I know some sisters, for example, run a very successful organization in Toronto to help women who are refugees and have experienced rape. That's her specialties. Help them to rebuild themselves. I know, for example, an institute or another group of individuals, they focus on certain and made a huge amount of progress, recognized in the national level. So when we talk about this kind of legacy that you will basically leave behind you as an individual or collectively as a society or a community, legacy can be made in different areas. And the more impact it has on people, the better it is. But it can be very specific, very niche. Legacy is to succeed in making lasting positive change in the society and to be a source of inspiration to generations to come. A story to be told. A name that will be recognized. A contribution that it will be felt. Many people don't differentiate between fame and greatness with associated with leaving a legacy. What's the difference? A lot of young people, and a lot of people, actually young and old, they don't know the difference between fame and greatness. Fame is based on what you gain in life. Greatness is based on what you contribute to life. I'll say that again. Fame is based on what you gain. Greatness is based on what you contribute, what you leave. Building a legacy has nothing to do with your age or gender or ethnic, but it has everything to do with the hard and sincere your actions are. A lot of people build legacy, sisters and brothers, young people and old. SubhanAllah. How many of you guys heard about Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? He is a legacy maker. That's really kind of, if this is true, that most of hands did not raise their hands about Umar ibn Aziz, you should check him out. He's, by the way, an old man, in old days, like died a long time ago. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when you look at his biography, you will see that he said one of the things that he made him the way he was, the man he was, is his own son. Many people never heard of his son, Abdul Malik. But his son contributed to the to building that great man, which is Umar ibn al-Aziz, rahimahullah. Those who want to build a legacy, there are things you need to keep in mind. And I just want to share a couple of things before I end my talk for tonight. Number one, it's all based on your attitude in life. You know what they say? They say your attitude will determine your altitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude, how high you go. So make sure you have a good attitude, positive attitude, because that will contribute directly to the legacy that you will leave behind you. I'll never forget that shirt. I do have a I have the shirt at home, even though it's old now. When my son, maybe 15 years ago, when he was going to the hospital for his treatment for his cancer, and I saw this shirt in the back, it's written on it, "The only disabilities in life is bad attitude." That's really absolutely true. That's the only disabilities in life. Your bad attitude. Good attitude enable you, elevate you. And let's look how attitude directly linked to the concept of legacy. For instance, look at the way, the manner you live your life. A lot of people, a lot of hardworking men and women that I know, I asked them, "What do you do?" And he said, "I do this and I do this. Sheikh, it's so hard. You guys talk about the nice things, but you, Sheikh, I work so hard." And I have no doubt about that. That there's so many people working so hard to make a living. But while you are making a living, you forget to make a life, which is very sad. While you're working hard to make a living, you forgot to make a life. That's called attitude in life. What's your attitude? Are you trying to build a resume to impress people? Or are you trying to build a legacy to impact people? Are you trying to make money, or are you trying to make a difference? Resume is about accomplishment, while legacy is about contributing. Resume is always about results, while legacy is about relationships. It's about career, your resume, and you write your resume. But your legacy, it's about your family. It's about your community. It's about the organization that you're associated with. Resume is a start and end with your life. Our legacy start with your life, but it will not end with your life. It will be something way much bigger than you, last longer than you. It's not about how you improved as much, it's about how can you improve others and help others. When we build a resume, our life is short as a number of years on this earth. But when we make a legacy, our life become bigger and longer as the concept and the legacy we are part of. Another attitude to determine your legacy, it is how you live your life. Are you living like a victor, or are you living like a victim? We'll determine what kind of legacy we're leaving behind. Are we just want to live like a victim, crying over, looking for pity, looking for handout, looking for, you know, because of I'm minority, because of my color skin, because of my ethnic, but I need a pass, I need someone to pat me on my shoulder, and that's the life I want? Or you know what, I want to be al-yadul ulya, the upper hand. I want the one who give, who contribute, who make the change. You know Safiya radiallahu anha, the Prophet's wife. What's her religion before Islam? She was a Jew. Her father, her uncle, both killed while they're trying to kill the Prophet ﷺ and to fight the Prophet ﷺ. Her lost her family, her uncle, her father, her, you know, also her husband, she's a widow. So her family member known of animosity to the Prophet ﷺ and to the Sahaba. Now she became a Muslim. What did she bring with her? Look, one day somebody told her, hey, you're the daughter of a Jew. You're a Jew. And she kind of got, you know, offended by that. You know what the Prophet ﷺ said? See, he wanted to change her attitude in life. He said, a Jew? You know what? You are a daughter of a prophet and your uncle was a prophet, Musa and Harun. None of these Arab women who's saying this to you, their grandfather, they can claim that their grandfather and their uncle was a prophet. Wow, she was so boosted and happy. I'm proud of that heritage. That's a big difference between how you live your life. You know, when you see these opportunities in your difficulties versus you always see difficulties in your opportunities. It's attitude. I pity the man who inherits a million and isn't a millionaire. Because being a millionaire is an attitude. It's not about the money only. It is when your income grow and you don't. You know, attitude. We touched about this earlier in the morning. The mental positive attitude. And instead of saying, it cannot be done, say, how it can be done. The Prophet ﷺ said, if all people bad, he have destroyed them. من قال هلك الناس فقد أفهو أهلكهم. Or another narration, he's the worst of them. If somebody said, all people are bad, all people, he's the worst, the Prophet ﷺ said. You know, when a man was brought drunk, and in his own narration, in Ramadan, drunk, people curse him. Somebody said, always he brought drunk. Always he drink alcohol. The Prophet said, see the positive mental attitude. The Prophet said, don't curse him. Don't help the shaitan against him. You know, when you curse this person, what you do? You're helping the shaitan against this person. Isolated and pushing this person away from you. So he became what? An easy prey for the shaitan. The Prophet said, should you say better than that? Say, may Allah have mercy on him. May Allah forgive him. Astaghfirullah. That's what the Sheikh was trying to tell you earlier. Accept forgiveness. Yani accept the responsibility of forgiveness. Because if Allah forgive you, it means you will change yourself. So he said, say, may Allah have mercy on him. He loves Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he's weak. He looked at the positive area. Sometimes we focus so much on the thing that people do wrong. You know what? Somebody told me once about my own, because part of your legacy is your own family. Somebody, a wise man, told me, don't always try to catch your kids doing something wrong. You know what? I found that I do that a lot. Is it try to catch your kids doing something correct and right? And make a comment on it. Don't just focus on catching them doing something wrong. Don't try to catch your husband or your spouse doing something wrong. Catch them doing something good. You know, sometimes we need to have this positive attitude. And instead of saying, no, 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 no. What can I do? Yes, Sharia. Some people think, you know, the Sharia is nothing. Some young people, teenagers, tell me, they think Islam is a long list of no's. Well, that's not the truth. A man came to a Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, is it true if I really know about Allah on the day of judgment, I'll be always sad? He said, no. If you truly know Allah, man arafa Allah, ma tala huznuh, bal tala farahuh. You will be so happy. That's a positive attitude. Legacy makers concentrate on the positive. They look for the silver lining in every situation. They know that it is their positivity that will take them to greatness. If you want to be successful, if you want to build a legacy, you need to have positive outlook toward life. I can't imagine us building a legacy in Calgary, and I just see the society as doomed and gloomy and bad, and I don't see any good in it. Somebody earlier, with what all going on in the world, somebody said, how come we live in America and Canada? We should migrate. We should leave. You know, this is bad. You know, do you see how this country support, you know, what's going on in Gaza? And I said, where do you want to go? Let's go to a Muslim country. I said, which one? Do you in some Muslim country? In some Muslim country, my wife was wearing a shirt in it that, you know, the hijabi sister with the Palestine, you know, hijab. You know, it's a very famous, iconic, you know, t-shirt these days. Just, or a kufi like has a Palestinian. You know, our friend, family of us told my wife, take it off. Don't walk on the street like that. You can be trouble. Government can't stop you for it. Then she said, I'm an American. I don't know what that means. She said, you don't want to find it the hard way. They were terrified. You can't even, you think protest will put you in jail. You can't speak up. Well, alhamdulillah, we're living in a country, we're not happy with our politicians. But you know what? We are happy that we are in a place and a system that allowed us to speak up, that allowed us to express ourselves. So don't give me that negative look. And you know, as of the whole entire world doomed and nothing good in the society. I pay tax. You know, nobody give the tax with the intention, I'm giving this money so some more innocent people die. No. You get taxed because you know what? You get a free health care. You get taxed because of so many other things. And it's the sin of how this money be used in the wrong way. Fall into the hand of the one who using it. I have no intention of harming anyone. So don't give me that negative, you know, and make me feel live and go. Where Muslim will go? Tell me one country will open its floor and place for millions and millions. What, 200 million Muslims live in India? Or more? Where are they going to go if you can open that door to that conversation? So what I'm trying to say here, you know, positive attitude is very important. Because if you have this attitude, you'll never build anything. I will never forget, I was in San Diego in a masjid. And they were fundraising. So somebody asked me about, is it permissible to live in a non-Muslim country? I said, yes, it is permissible. I live here. You know, you live in the place where you find yourself closer to Allah and more beneficial to the creation of Allah. That's where I live. Simple as that. So the imam got so mad at me. And he said, oh, your shuyukh doesn't believe in that. And you should not say that. I preach in this masjid and my teaching in this masjid is based on not allowed to live. I said, he's a refugee. And I said, Habibi, you come from your country as a refugee. You know what? With all due respect, not a single Muslim country opened its door for you and your people. You went to show me your own people how they live in Egypt, how they live in Saudi Arabia, how they live in many other countries. Versus you living in these Western countries, sharing the goodness and they sharing with you their income, their money, their... He said, not to, why? I said, what? They're sharing it because what? Because mashallah, yani you come with the genius idea to change the world? No, they do this because there is a system that allowed, you know, there is some soft heart, like the Prophet ﷺ said about the people of the Rome, you know, one of the reasons they dominate the world, قال أحناهم على فقير. They have the soft spot in their heart towards people who are suffering. Not all the time, not for every cases, but in general, that exists. There is a system allowed you to flourish, to share the citizenship, to take a citizenship, to have a passport, to travel. And I said, if you really preach that, Imam, why are you making a fundraising to build the second floor? You should downgrade the size of the masjid because you're going to ship everybody out. So positive attitude towards society, it will allow you to make that legacy. You know, a positive attitude towards mistakes. You don't need to doom an imam or an organization because they lack or they made a mistake. Mistakes an opportunity to improve. The only mistake that can truly hurt you is choosing to do nothing simply because you're too scared to make a mistake. Hang on with this. In order to build a legacy, you is to want to have one. You can't begin to build a legacy and it is not part of your plan. If it's not something you think about, you're not going to do it. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, make us leader for the muttaqeen, not for just the people, for the muttaqeen, the best of people. You know, Muawiyah radiallahu an was walking with his mom, Hind. And he looked intelligent. So somebody said to Hind, he said, is this your son? She said, yes. He said, take care, good care of your son. I think your boy, if he grow up, he will be the king of the Arabs. قَلْ يَمْلِكُ الْعَرَبِ. You know what Hind said? And the boy listening. She said, what a loser if he be the king of the Arabs only. I'm not preparing him for that. قَالَ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ إِمْ مَلَكَ الْعَرَبَ فَقَطْ. I'm preparing him to rule the world. And he ruled the world. رضي الله عنه أرضاه. That's the difference. And when you know what? Ahmed Zweil is a recipient of Nobel Prize in science. Do you know his mom, when he's in elementary school, used to write Dr. Ahmed in his lunchbox and his name? She called him doctor before. I remember my dad used to call me Sheikh Waleed when I was still maybe in high school or just first year in college. And after I started studying Sharia, he treated me in a very different way. He said, you're a sheikh. I said, I'm not yet. He said, you will be. But that's had a great impact on me, rahimahullah. You know, self-assurance, confidence, courage is essential. It's to build that in you. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that on them. They don't see themselves capable of doing that. You know, it's sad when someone even don't want to be who they are. To wish to be someone else is to waste the person you are. The last person one wants to be is themselves. Sadly, that is the best person to be. You know, confidence comes not from always being right or perfect, but not from afraid or fearing to be wrong or less. Accept yourself for others to accept you. Love yourself in order for others to love you. Have a confidence in yourself in order for others to do so. Doesn't mean to be arrogant. Doesn't mean to be not realistic. Doesn't mean to be, you know, foolish. No. It means that you are Abdullah, the servant of Allah. So I invite you in the end of this conference to reignite your faith, to empower yourself with al-Iman billah, believing in Allah, accepting your Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Rasulullah and al-Islam as your deen. Have that confidence in Allah. Because you always say, this is the most common dua of the Prophet ﷺ. Do not let me rely on myself even for a blink of an eye. لا تكلني لنفسي طرفة عين. We live while we always say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We live while we are saying, وما توفيقي إلا بالله. My success comes from Allah. We live while we are remembering what Allah said, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I will give you more. We live while we believe in al-qadr, in the predestiny, that Allah will not decree upon us something unless the good in it more than the bad. We live while we know that what happened to us, it happened because Allah planted and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for a great wisdom. I believe if you keep your faith, you keep your trust in Allah, you keep the right attitude, if you are grateful, you will see Allah opening new doors for you. Let your life reflect the faith you have in Allah. Fear nothing and pray about everything. Be strong, trust Allah's word, and trust the process. You come from a society, a history, and a nation of strength. Life is full of happiness and tears. Be strong and have faith, because Allah promised a safe landing, not a calm journey. And I'll say that again. A safe landing, not a calm journey. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. You know, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot to be said. But I hope with these words, I leave you with that big concept, which is al-Iman billah. Something that it will inspire you to leave, something that it will impact your family and generation to come, impact the society and the community that you're living in, and to be a force of good, contributing a little bit towards a bigger goal. It means a better future for us all. And I will say, the people ask me if I would be able to handle the last talk after a long night of talking. That's why I'm going to ask you all to stand up. See if you can handle this. Can you stand up, please, if you can? And I want you to take one step to the right, one step to the left, move your hand a little bit, sit down. I can tell you, Danish, Radwan, Sheikh Naveed, alhamdulillah, as the last session of the night, I was able to move the crowd. Thank you very much, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names and attributes to accept our good deeds, to bless this gathering, and to bless the brothers and sisters who organize this, and to keep something that lasts and will continue for years to come. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, forgive our shortcomings, and to make us among those who will always do good and contribute good. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this positive attitude, that positive mental attitude, to give us sabr, to give us a strength, to give us confidence. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our brothers and sisters in Palestine, those who are suffering in Gaza, and everywhere in the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a relief, to bring peace and a lasting peace and justice for those who are suffering from injustice. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الله صلوه سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأن يرحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تلطف بإخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي غزة يا أرحم الراحمين خاصة اللهم كن لهم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم إنا نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم يا أرحم الراحمين أن ترحم ضعفنا وأن تغفر ذنبنا وأن ترفع في الجنة درجاتنا اللهم إني أسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مبرورا وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا مشكورا اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته